Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it's a day that we remember that Jesus came into Jerusalem, what we call the triumphal entry, and he rode in on a donkey. I want to take a look, though, this morning at the crowd that surrounded that event. I encourage you, though, this morning, if I could, for a moment, to take out your Bible this week. And I want you to read the greatest story of love that's ever been written. In fact, if I could encourage you to turn to the book of John. There's three chapters I would encourage you to read this week. Chapters 18, 19, and 20. This week, I want you to read it. Let me put it this way. I challenge you to read it for yourself. There's so many times we enter seasons like this that all of a sudden we allow the services, we allow all the other events to do it for us. Could I encourage or challenge or implore you to open your Bible this week? Turn to John and read the chapters about his death and his resurrection. And I believe that this story that has changed lives forever could possibly change yours. It has changed mine, and I'm so glad it has. This morning, I want to take you to, for our text, in Matthew chapter 21. In verses 1 to 11, I want to read, this is the story of the triumphal entry. Several gospels tell it to us, but let me begin with this one this morning. Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Father, today throughout this whole message, and Lord, everything that takes place, I pray that you would receive the glory. And Lord, that your word would be our teacher today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, what I want to do is examine the crowd that was present that particular day as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. In reality, we need to understand that that crowd is still with us today. The question is, can you recognize who you are in the crowd? I want to identify four groups of people that were present during that triumphal entry. From the people that lined the streets that day, we will find several groups. One group is the committed group. There's another group, they were confused. Another group were pretenders. And another group were in opposition. I want us over the next few moments as we are here together to examine these groups individually and look at the motives of why they were present during this event. I mean, why would they take time out of their day to show up and do what they did? Why? What impact could their story have upon our life? What can we learn from them? First group I want us to look at this morning is the group that is committed. The group that is committed. Matthew 21, we read these verses. I'll read them again, verses 6 and 7. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. The first ones we see that participated that day were the disciples. You see, a committed follower of Christ is one who follows Jesus' leadership without question. Like the disciples getting the donkey, they just had to do what Jesus told them. And they're kind of curious to say, but Lord, what if the guy doesn't want to give up his donkey? He says, hey, if you're asked, just tell him the Lord needs it. Did you know a committed follower recognizes that Jesus is Lord? Someone who is committed walks in obedience. They serve however the Lord directs them. We, as the committed, we as believers, understand Jesus' mission of bringing a lost and a dying world to the knowledge of the grace of God, our Savior, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Committed followers give willingly of themselves for the cause of Christ. I trust that today you are a part of that committed group, as the disciples were. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that we'll always understand what the Lord tells us to do. But it does mean that we will obey because we are committed. So one group was committed. Another group was confused. A second group that we find in the crowd in Matthew 21, 10 and 11. It says the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The confused crowd are those who really didn't know what was going on and didn't recognize Jesus for who he truly was. You see, many people think he's a good man, a prophet, a wise man, a good teacher. But confused people don't understand God's plan for their life. Even if they begin to learn about the plan, they begin to think or believe that somehow their own works can save them. They're confused. They think surely grace couldn't be enough. Unfortunately, churches are full of people who fit this mold. Few confused people. They have wrong intentions of why they do things. Many of those that were present that day in Jerusalem thought that Jesus was coming. He's going to overthrow the Roman government, and he's going to take political control of our country. That's what they thought. Many people are the same today. They see God as someone who comes, and he's their life raft, but not their reason for living. He's not their Savior. He's not Lord of their life, and they live confused. Are you confused? See, that's why I've been preaching to you out of Romans. I've been trying to instruct us and teach us who we really are, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But I also am teaching you who we are in Christ when we meet Him. So we don't have to live confused. The Word of God is there for us to put it into our hearts so that we don't sin against God. It says to take the water of the Word and we wash over our lives, and the confusion will go when we get the Word inside. The Word of God helps us get on the right track and keeps us from being confused. There were the committed, there was the confused, but then also in the crowd, there were pretenders. John writes this in his account of it in chapter 12 of them coming into the city. And after they had even come into the city, he writes in verse 37, he had worked a lot of miracles among the people, but they were still not willing to have faith in Him. Did you know that pretenders are present just about everywhere you go? Even in church? Unfortunately, these are people who have no real commitment to Jesus. They want to be seen, but they've not really surrendered their control of their lives to Jesus. You can see this when people begin to come to church just out of habit, or they come out of routine. They forget the purpose of why we have gathered on the first day of the week. There are some who even go to church, believe it or not, just to get somebody off their back or to soothe their conscience. Ultimately, though, they're just going through the motions. They're pretending. These people are spiritually blind, just like those were in that crowd that day. They saw the miracles. They saw what Jesus has done. They were amazed, but they weren't changed. They didn't have faith in who Jesus was or why he came. People like this, they never really get to know Jesus or his plan for their life. Pretenders are easily influenced by the actions of others also. They take the path, of course, of least resistance and let the approval of others dictate their level of commitment. One of the churches in Revelation chapter 3 that God writes to is a church of pretenders. They had a name, they went through the motions, but their lives and their hearts were lukewarm at best. Let me read it to you. Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And in this passage in verse 20, we find Jesus saying, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Paul writes to Timothy as a young pastor and tells him, listen, there are people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Pretenders. They think they're feasting with the Lord. They think they're doing the right thing. But they don't realize how lost they really are. That's why, church, I want us to open our hearts to God every day of our life. That's why on Sundays when we come together, I want us to come into this place and seek His face. Church, I want us to stay attentive to the voice of God and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I don't want to pretend like those in the crowd. They see the works of God, but have no faith to accept God into their own life. Did you know Jesus stands at the door and he knocks? The question is, will you open it to him? Church, don't be a pretender. The committed, the confused, the pretenders, and lastly, those that are in opposition. A fourth group are those who are just flat opposition to Jesus. Luke 19 records it in verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. You have to know that earlier the Pharisees had already given orders for the people not to have anything to do with anyone who had faith in Jesus. There's a good reason for this. It's because those in leadership want praise from people rather than praise from God. In fact, John records it in verses 42 and 43 of chapter 12. He says, but many believed in Jesus, even many of the leaders. But because of the Pharisees, they did not say they believed in him for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. 43, they loved praise from people more than praise from God. Did you know the opposition always seeks to promote its own interest? Those in opposition to Jesus are consumed with seeking the attention of people. They're opposed to a commitment to Christ because commitment requires change. Commitment requires their focus to be on Jesus and not on themselves. Those in opposition to Jesus, they seek to destroy the message of Jesus. They also actively want to destroy those who would promote the message of Jesus. In fact, as we look ahead to Good Friday that's coming and next Sunday, we will find that those that were in opposition to Him, those that were trying to kill Him, those that were trying to knock out the plan of God, their intent is to kill the plan of God. But I want you to know that God is wiser than they are. And by the way, they end up, what they thought was destructive, became the fulfillment of the plan of God. In Colossians, Paul writes to the church and says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to a cross. And having now disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The opposition against us has been dealt with. Listen, church. You don't want to be against God. He has won. He has done it. It is finished. But the question comes today to us very simply. Who are you in the crowd? I want you to listen to a scripture and see the heart of Jesus as He approaches the city with all of this going on. In Luke 19:41, as He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it. Earlier in Scripture, we see the same heart in Matthew 9, verse 36. He says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees the crowd. He knows who's there. He knows who you are. And Jesus loves you. He gave His life for you. He rose again from the grave that you might have eternal life. I'm sure that as Jesus went through the crowd that day, He saw each and every face. He knew each and every story. Jesus sees you today. He knows your story. The question, will you allow Him to be your Lord and Savior? Can you come to Him just as you are, realizing there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make Him love you less? You can think you're committed. Maybe, though we need to understand, like Peter, if we're not careful, though we call ourselves committed, we can find ourselves still denying Him. We get caught in situations. Are you really committed? Maybe you're confused. You don't know what to believe. Let me tell you, the Bible says Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It is by His name and His name only by which you can be saved. I trust this morning you're not a pretender. Just playing the game thinking, I can do enough to save myself. It is by faith, through grace alone, that you are saved. Lastly, I pray today that you're not in opposition to Christ. Did you know that Jesus is the victor? In fact, Revelation 17:14 describes it this way. It says, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. Would you consider surrendering your whole life to Jesus? Who are you in the crowd? Are you one of the ones that's just been pretending? You think maybe you can do enough for yourself? Maybe you stood in opposition to the message. I can only tell you, the Word of God says you won't win. Maybe you've just been confused. I just attend. I don't know what I believe. Listen, today I'm telling you, because of a cross, And because of Jesus dying and rising again, He is your life. Put your faith and your confidence in Him. And church, if you think you're committed, wait till the testing comes. Don't get prideful in thinking, I'm committed. I'll die for you, Jesus. It's exactly what Peter said. And he ends up denying him three times. You see, this week, church, you have a choice to find where you are in the crowd. As you walk through the stores and people buying this and that and getting all of their Easter paraphernalia and all of that, where are you in the crowd? Are you caught up into what the world is doing? Or are you caught up to what Jesus is doing? This morning, as the choir sings another song, I want you to listen carefully to these words. It comes from an old hymn that says, "Just as I am." This church, you can't do it any other way. It's Him and Him alone. Who are you? So where are you? Have you been playing church? Been pretending? Can you really say, "Just as I am"? Church, I've been with church folks long enough to know we all struggle with it. We feel like we want to do something, some restitution for the things we've done, the way we've messed up. But there is nothing you can do. It is Jesus who shows up. Oh, the praise, the hosannas, everything else. But in the crowd, there are people who are confused and pretending and in opposition. Those who think they're committed. Those who are trying. Sometimes trying so hard their own way. Church, I don't know where you are today. I know at first service, there were three this morning who gave their hearts and said, "God, I just surrender everything." Where are you? Church, quit pretending. There is a world out there this week. We have an open opportunity for a week, folks. Do you understand? There is a heightened understanding of something that is taking place in our nation, that some about Easter, and they're confused. They're looking for somebody who's got truth and realness and authenticity and genuine relationship. It's you, if you're committed. If you find in your own self confused or just playing the game, or I really don't like this stuff. Church, I'm telling you, it's real. Jesus died on a cross and He rose again. And those who put their faith in Him and Him alone, not your works, because you will begin to boast about it. It is grace that comes by faith. Nothing else. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to count to three. For those in this place this morning, you're tired of playing the game. You're ready to say, "Lord, I'm ready to use this week for Your glory." If you're ready to quit pretending, quit being confused and say, "Jesus, You're the way," quit being in opposition and come over to the committed side. Ready? One, two, three. Yes. 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 Is there anyone else in the balcony? So I just glanced there. Is there anyone? Any others on the main floor? Just slip it up and slip your hand right back down. Is there anybody? Yes. Is there anybody else? Because church, this is the time for us to be the church of the living God. Let's not miss it because we're just somebody in the crowd. Would you look at me for a moment? For those who have lifted your hand, I'm going to pray with you in a moment. But church, you're in the crowd. The crowd is there. It happens among you everywhere you go. This week, I am telling you, I don't know how strong to say it. I don't want you to miss what the Lord wants to do in you. I don't know what the Lord will speak to you. Just like He told the disciples, "Go get a donkey." I don't know what the Lord will tell you this week. This week, as I was going through a drive-through, I came up to the window and I was ready to pay my bill. And the guy looked at me and said, "Wow, you're not in your van today." I'm like, yeah, I'm in the car. I'm like, I think I'm going through the drive-thru too much. Let me tell you a story, though. One day I was driving through the drive-thru. It was a Wendy's. I came to the window, and the lady looked at me and said, are you a pastor? I said, I am. She said, would you pray for my daughter? Folks, we need to be ready. I could have said, I'm just here to get my food. But I'm committed, folks. And when the Holy Spirit brings something to life, we need to respond. We don't need to live in denial or afraid of what people may think. I know people say, well, be a Jesus freak. I don't know what you want to call it, but I want to be alive in Jesus. I want His Spirit to speak to me. I want to hear what He's saying to the church. Church, I'm tired of the game. And I'm not fussing at you. I'm not beating up on you. I'm telling you, church, we have a purpose, and Jesus is coming back, and I don't want people to miss it. And church, this week, the crowd will be around you. You will be the one that's walking into the crowd. There'll be shouts of all kinds of stuff going on around you. But will you see the people that are confused? You see those who are in opposition. Will you see those that are pretenders? I trust you're not one of them. But you find yourself among the committed. There were four or five who raised their hand this morning. Church, I'm going to ask you all together. Listen, I want you to pray it with enthusiasm. I want you to pray it with belief and with faith this morning. All of us together, as we rededicate and say, God, I need you to do something in me. Listen, I can't change myself. But I'm telling you what, the power of the cross at work in my life changes me if I let it. Because He knocks. And I'm opening. Come in. I want you to be Lord. I don't want to just say it. I don't want to just recognize it. I want to believe it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe in you today.
I believe in you today.
I receive you as my Savior.
I receive you as my Savior.
I believe you died on a cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
And I believe you rose again.
And I believe you rose again.
I trust you completely.
I trust you completely.
And your grace.
To save me.
Not my works. But your work.
Your work.
I commit my life. To live for you.
For the rest of my days.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm committed, Lord. Now, those who raised your hand, listen, don't walk it alone. If you're sitting next to someone, I need you to tell somebody about it today. Even if it's a recommitment, tell somebody. I want to be committed. I don't want to get lost in the crowd. You're there. And they're going to be watching this week. Church, let's be what God's called us to be. Ambassadors to a lost and dying world. They need you. They need the light to shine in the darkness.